ready to turn right?
Yeah.
Just lost you, wagon! Wow!
Podcast Rock City.
What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City, and with me this week, Sonny Hollywood Pony.
We miss Lee, but the show's always better without Joey. Welcome, everybody.
So brutal. All right, you guys up there, you guys know Julian from Kiss FAQ podcast. You guys have been on the air now how many years?
Oh, God, 8 years or so.
Eight, and you guys have done like 500 shows.
Done a lot. Yeah, we don't stop talking.
Yeah. And the cool thing about your show is I pretty much know everybody on the show, but it changes like who's available and who comes in for different subjects. You have different people, and I love that about your show. But Julian is an author as well as a podcaster, and he writes a lot of books about Kiss, and you guys have gobbled them up for a long time. And the new one, Mask Hysteria, is getting rave reviews. Julian, thank you for coming on with us.
Well, first of all, thank you for inviting me to be on. And thank you to everyone out there who's ever supported anything that I've done. Calling me an author is really stretching the word. More like condenser would be probably a little bit more appropriate.
Well, that's okay. You wrote a book. You're an author. You've written how many books now?
I don't know. I lost track. It's really gotten a bit insane, to be perfectly honest.
So you guys, the first time I ever met Julian, I was standing in line in New York to see Peter Criss's last show. And I had seen Julian, of course, lots of video of Julian. I looked back and then I walked over and I introduced myself and we were cordial. But we were all both had a one track mind. And one of the coolest things was Julian showed up with a book. It had some blank pages, right? Was it all blank pages?
No, a lot of them were messages that had been sent in to me that I had printed up and bound in the book,
right?
But I left lots of pages so that we could have people add to it in person,
right? And so it was a book for Peter Criss with all these personal notes, and I got to write a note to Peter Criss inside the book, and I am forever grateful for that you looked at me and said, hey, do this, and you know, forever. That's so cool that I got to tell him thank you as a fan, and we had a great night that night, didn't we?
Oh, it was absolutely fantastic. It could not have been better. And then handing him that book at the end of the evening, just with all those messages of gratitude to Peter Criss. It was called Let Me Thank You.
Yeah, it was awesome and a lot of fun. All right, so you guys out there that are watching live, thank you very much for being here. We're going to tell you guys all about how to get Julian's new book, and we're going to get into all that. But before we do, you know, we got to get to a little bit of the news.
Podcast Rock City News.
So, today at about 8 o'clock, we're going to have an announcement from Neil Davis. Now, if you guys out there don't know who Neil Davis is, he's the guy that put on the Creatures Fest from last year. It was a lot of fun. We all were there. We had a blast. Well, he's going to be, I guess, making an announcement. I guess he's going to be doing something like that again. And so 8 o'clock, he's going to be doing that. Julian is, when we're done, Julian's going to go have his dinner. He's on the West Coast, and we're going to carry that live right here. The place to be on Sunday nights, Podcast Rock City Live. So you guys can all watch it along with us. And then maybe we'll hang around for 5 minutes when it's done and talk about it, depending on what he says, because we have no idea what he's going to say. Right, Sonny?
I didn't even know we were staying until 2 seconds ago, so that would be correct.
Oh, I thought that's what... Okay, I thought I sent you a message, and you said okay.
You did! I'm messing with you! I didn't play along! Jesus Christ!
Right. Yes. I don't, come on. Everybody knows I don't know what I'm doing. All right. So that's pretty much the news. Kiss is off tour right now. They won't be on tour again until, I guess, the beginning of next month. So there's not a whole lot to talk about, except for I saw pictures of Paul Stanley and Shannon and Sophie. I guess they all went to see Taylor Swift. It's amazing to be able to just, you know, hey, we're Paul Stanley, and in you go. You know,
did you see that picture of him wearing the Taylor Swift show? That guy's 71 years old.
Yes, I hate the fact.
Doesn't he look absolutely incredible?
He does.
And to take his kids to that, I mean, that's just dad time. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm a big tub of goo compared to him. I've seen him sitting right behind the announcers at the WWE with his son, who I know is a big wrestling fan because he's posted stuff about it before. And one time he was sitting behind the announcers for the whole show. Peter was too, not long ago. They never even noticed that he was there. Or they did, and they didn't care. But I'm going to guess that he was just like, I'm here with my kid kind of thing. Okay, so that's pretty much the news. Let's go ahead and get to this very, very special and important topic of the week.
Podcast Rock City, topic of the week.
All right, so you know we have Julian here. You know that he's got a new book out. Do you have one sitting there, Julian?
Just one I've scribbled over. Let's see if my green screen allows me to show it.
No, we can see it. So let's talk about this. I'm going to hit you with a couple of questions right off the bat. Then we'll see what the title. Is that something that comes from that special that aired in Australia?
No, Kisteria. I mean, we've all heard of, you know, applied to the Australian tour of 1980 for over 40 years, and, you know, just mass hysteria. You know, talk about playing with just a play on words. I don't know if I've ever heard that called mass hysteria. If it has, and I clearly lifted it.
Nicely done. How long have you been working on it?
Oh, this goes back 6 years. Originally, with doing the On Tour series, I split Unmasked out into its own little publication, and then it grew from there.
Since you wrote it, how many times did you go, I did not know that?
A ton. Going through memos, going through newspaper articles and stuff that people would send in, and doing translations and all that for some of the stuff. I learned a ton doing the project.
That is amazing. So do you have any questions?
Yeah. So Julian, all this research and stuff, like I'm interested in, like, what's the hardest research to get? And then what's the hardest research to believe? You know what I mean? Like, there's got to be some publications that you're like, God, can I really print that? That doesn't sound right.
Yeah, and anything that's in the press, you take with a grain of salt, because it's usually got a PR spin to it. So, say, interviews or anything that's been published in magazines, all of that is, you know, it's nice and some of it's useful, but you're also, it's being geared towards an angle. So it's not as honest as something that is printed by someone who maybe isn't biased or doesn't have a purpose for that interview. The stuff that comes in newspapers, so newspaper reports, eyewitness accounts, and all that sort of stuff, is much more believable, because it's often written by people who hate KISS, which comes across in there. So then you have to take into account its bias and the skew that comes into anything that's newspaper sourced. So a lot of that stuff is tough. And when it comes to the 1980 tour, the getting European material was way more difficult than, say, researching the U.S. tour. We've got all these online archives now. We still have to spend a lot of time in the libraries. But a lot of the European newspapers don't have that accessibility that we take for granted here nowadays.
Yeah, some of this stuff that's in papers, I remember I was trying to find, you remember the pink section of the San Francisco Chronicle? We both lived on the coast, obviously. And I remember I was trying to find the pink section from, like, 1985 through 1995 to kind of remind myself of shows I had maybe seen, shows that I maybe had missed. Man, it was a pain in the ass to find some of that stuff.
Yeah, a lot of that's gotten easier. I mean, the amount of time I spend in the San Francisco Public Library going through microfilm, it is a nightmare. But there are indexes that you know, when the guys were putting together Kiss Alive Forever, they did it all old school. They were driving from city to city, going through newspapers, going through all that microfilm without the benefit of a lot of the online tools that I've had benefit from, or by being able to put my face on Facebook and say, hey, Germans, can you send me some newspaper stuff, please? You know, so all of that gets much easier as the years go by, though, as we age out, it gets more difficult for obvious reasons. So there aren't shortcuts that you can take, but you now have a worldwide library at your fingertips that makes a lot of it much easier to capture and to verify. So you ask 9 fans, oh, do you remember if You're All That I Want was played at this German show? And they all say no. You're like, awesome, because there isn't a tape of that show. So the web is a very positive tool in that sense. For all its dark side, there are good things for our community who want to share information.
So let me ask you this. So basically, this is what they consider the unmasked tour, and they played one show in the U.S. Is that covered in your book at all?
Yeah, that is. The book starts at the end of the Dynasty or the Return of Kiss tour in December 1979, when Peter basically announces that he's leaving the band. It starts with, I think at the beginning of it, it's talking about some of the demo sessions that, Gene and Paul did while they were still on the road for Dynasty. And then it gets into the whole, you know, the contract renegotiations with Phonogram, the fall of Casablanca, the end of Neil Bogart. All of that sets the stage as well as an expanded album focus for the album itself. So goes into all that detail. And then you get into the tour, you get into the auditions of replacing Peter with Eric. You get Eric coming into the band, and then you get the Palladium shows, and all, you know, I got a ton of worldwide coverage, but not as on the scale that you would have thought for the band at that time. And then it goes into the touring history, and that's the prime focus of it, is the Unmasked tour, which is mainly Europe and Australia. So this is really a book for the international Kiss Army, not just American fans for once.
Wow, that's really cool. While you were doing... Okay, so do you think that it was a mistake for Kiss not to tour the U.S. for Unmasked?
They didn't really have an opportunity or a chance. You know, the album comes out here, it tanks. They're doing their rehearsals, trying to integrate a new drummer. They had to tour Europe. They had signed a contract saying that they were going to, you know, tour Europe. It was written into the contract that they signed in April 1980 that they were going to get a pretty good subsidy to tour Europe. And with Phonogram being a European label, you really want to make your new bosses kind of happy. I think we all have to do that at work. Occasionally make the management, get off my back. So I don't think they would have been able to tour. The sales of the album weren't there. The budgets weren't there. We see budgets for, you know, The Elder the following year, and there's just no fiscal impetus for doing that. They were burned out in this country.
Okay, so listen, before we move forward, I want to make sure that we do a couple of things here because I'm getting a lot of questions. First question was, somebody said, I wish this was coming out on hardback, and Julian says...
Yes, there will be a very limited print run in hardcover, and let me explain why. The copies up on Amazon, which are paperback, have a beautiful print to my eyes, and everyone's eyes are different. It's got a little bit of a glossy sheen. It's got beautiful contrast, saturation, all that, and I like the paper. Now, on the hardcover, the paper's thicker and the print is lighter, so the details aren't as good. But I've had so many people asking me about it. And I went through one of the hardcovers, and it's still readable. You might just need to have your bifocals on. So when I do have more information on that, check out maskhysteria.com. That's just your source of truth for where to find it. This is limited available. It's not going to be available online forever like Odyssey or the solo albums book. It's a full color thing, so it's special. It's got, you know, it's, that makes it a bit more expensive. So there will be a hardcover. I've got an order in now. And, you know, if you find me on the KISS FAQ message board, that's usually where I post the links very first. So that's where
Here's the website, you guys. And I didn't understand this, and Julian graciously explained it to me. If you go down to the bottom and you click on the flag from the country that you're from, it'll take you exactly where to buy it. That's Amazon in their country.
That is right. Those are all the international Amazons that currently exist.
Right. So if you guys, you know, maskhysteria.com, you go there and you buy the book. I promise it's not going to be bad. It's going to be awesome because Julian dots his I's, crosses his T's, and he goes into a ton of detail.
Yeah. I spelled Eric Stahl's Holland wrong. I screwed that up. I can't believe it. So, yeah. That's where it is. There's a couple of lines that got cut off in the final manuscript. But everything, you know, new copies, I'm continuously updating the manuscript. That's where to get it. Again, it will take you to your local Amazon. It's currently marked down substantially price-wise on the U.S. Amazon. They haven't done that for all the international ones, which is really galling, especially after Amazon put the prices up of everything 20% or more in June, which really bites.
So Scott Hawk here,
No
Kindle available.
No, it will not format into electronic book format, and still have the quality that's required. It is so graphic intensive, it just does not work. So my apologies, no Kindle edition for this book.
Sonny?
Yeah. Julian, what was the last book you did before this one?
Well, I've been updating the On Tour series for a 50th anniversary, but the last proper book would have been the Aerosmith book, actually. The last KISS one would have been Danger Zone.
And that was how long ago?
I don't know. I can't keep track of what I ate for lunch today, let alone when that book came out. Really, with all these things that I do and everything that I'm working on. Yeah, it's not easy to get Australian clippings. I mean, thankfully, the Australian KISS Army is an awesome, you know, bunch of blokes and Sheilas, because they came up with a ton of great stuff for me. Perth was a nightmare, absolute challenge. So not as easy as I thought. Nothing's ever as easy as you think.
Yeah. So, Julian, the reason I was asking why, how long ago the last book was, is I want to give you kudos. And I think everybody who has joined us so far and everything I've seen on Facebook, everything I've gotten on text message from my personal friends, they've gotten their book right away. They got something they paid for, right? And you got to admit, the KISS Army's been duped a couple of times.
You're disappointed that I didn't do pre-orders for 8 years and then still not have started writing it? I mean, does that offend you?
I wasn't trying to go down that. But I think, you know what? It's, first of all, you've always done that. But I think it hits home and gives the fans, the Army, it's like, all right, everything's fine. It's not everybody. Right, because it happened from, well, a KISS-centric thing too with the Dubai thing. So it's like, it's not every time, guys. Just trust it, and you'll get your stuff. And it's so weird because you never hear in the past, you wouldn't hear, "Hey, I got my book today. I got my book right away." And all of a sudden, that matters. So I thought it was kudos to you. Right, you did it the right way, and I think you're getting credit for that too.
Listen, thank you, Sonny. I mean, it is critically important to me. I don't worry about other people's stuff, but I did this book. I paid for the art. I paid for everything. I do all the investment in it myself. I then print them up and I get some copies out to people whose opinions I value. If it does not pass muster, it is not getting released. And again, this is fan level. I am not a professional by any stretch of the imagination. I cannot do InDesign to save my life. But if it is not worth fans' hard-earned money, It is not going to be available. If I have to do a pre-order and accept people's money to fund my dreams, I'm not doing that. I am not risking a person's, a 1 cent of another person's money for my edification or ego. And I've done a lot of these projects, and I'd like to think that they've all been worth people's money. I know I've learned a lot along the way. I'm continuing to learn. I'm hopefully continuing to improve my craft. I'm hopefully continuing to listen to what our fellow fans want to read about, because I think this stuff's important. I think it's fun. And I still get excited about it. I get excited about new discoveries. They really make my world go round.
Ba-dum-bum. Hey, that was nicely done. I feel like he sat on that comment and waited.
Oh, it was just a train coming along, Joe. There was no setup there.
Very, very nice. Okay, so when you were writing this book, one of the things about your books is how much information is in there. Were you able to get it all in there, or did you go, I'm going to have to leave that out and leave that out?
No, I had to leave some stuff out because some stuff I learned on the side that's going to come out and hopefully come out in someone else's something that I can poach from them. And I wanted to be very careful and respectful of that. I can never get everything in that I want to get into one of these books because you're always learning more. You finally have to draw a line in the sand and say, I'm done. We're putting this out. It's got to go now. Yes, it will never be complete because all the history it's continuously evolving. History was lived, but it's not been written, and it can never be written because you're always going to discover another memo. You're going to discover another obscure fanzine or newspaper thing that adds to the story. You got to know when to kind of stop and say, let the people have it and let them judge it for what it is at this time, because self-published, I can update the manuscript.
With all your discovery and everything, how was the band getting along at this point?
Well, Peter was written into the 1980 contract as leaving the band. So how were they getting along? Well, Peter was gone, but he was still part of the business. They had a new guy. How are they getting along? Well, they're like mom and dad with a kid on tour. That Eric's completely green. He knows nothing about being an international star, knows nothing about hiding his identity. He's naive. He's a sponge. So how are they getting along? Well, Ace is showing, he's getting a bit worse for wear at this point in the band's history. I think that's none of that's like new information. Gene is enamored with Hollywood, and Paul is enamored with stardom. So how are they getting along? They're getting along on their own paths with their own kind of addictions, whether it's chemical or otherwise. And Eric's just a deer in headlamps.
Right. Do you think that doing this tour in Australia is so, do you think that this is really what lit the fire to the point where they're still huge in Australia, to the point where they did the fans did a whole thing to try to get the band to come back and do one more show? You think that this tour is legendary?
Yeah, and that's the whole thing. Legendary and mythical are not necessarily rooted in the reality of the financial response to the tour. Even before the tour was over in Australia, merchandisers were taking a bloodbath and not being able to sell the trinkets anymore. It was a very condensed window of success in Australia, but it had a massive impact on the people that experienced it. So it's two completely different things, the reality. And does it live on today? Yeah, those same fans are the people who contributed to this project and made it happen. And it has a lot of meaning to them. Do they care that it didn't make $10 million and the promoter, lost money? No, because it opened up Australia as a touring market a lot more.
Sonny?
Yeah, from all the research, I was just thinking about something, and we haven't actually ever probably heard anybody talk about this, so I figured I'll get both your guys' perspective. So we're at end of 79, beginning of 1980. Every promoter on the planet sees Kiss as this behemoth thing that you have to, if you're going to put them on, I guess, into these arenas, there's a huge cost to it. But you could probably get Van Halen and Journey for a third of the cost, and they're twice as popular now. So I wonder if there was any opportunity for Kiss to go, look, we'll just kind of trim things down and cut the cost to play the U.S. Any data that even shows anything like that?
No, it's really the following year's touring budget show them doing completely the opposite, refusing to scale down, because there was a mantra that they had within the band. Kiss had to be Kiss. Kiss couldn't be big, couldn't not be big. Kiss had to be in your face, over the top, blow your mind. And to a certain extent, thank God they didn't scale down, because Australia got the full Kiss experience. Europe pretty much got the full. Some of the German places didn't get all the pyro and stuff. So, you know, Kiss is Kiss. Kiss has to be Kiss. There is Joe, no you Kiss think, Light.
Yeah. Joe, you think Kiss Light in 1980, 1981, I guess, connects with the fans in the U.S.? Are they given another chance?
You know, part of the problem is that they're so used to over the top. If they come in, so in the 90s they did that with the club tour, right? You know, they walked into clubs and you got, you know, a different kind of Kiss, of course, but it was bare bones. It was four guys on a stage plugged into the Marshalls and they played. Would a fan be happy if Gene isn't flying across the stage? I don't know. That's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Kiss didn't have the mentality inside to ever stop being big. I mean, even in Australia, you know, they tested the bounds, you know, by demanding swimming pools and stuff be built backstage and then never use them, and press boxes be built and then they're used for 10 minutes, and Paul Stanley flying to New Zealand multiple times to see some cookie, you know. So it was always an inability for them to downscale themselves in their minds as well. And that didn't really happen. 88 was the first time they, you know, when they went back into the clubs in New York and London. That was really it.
There's a ton of you guys here. Some of you might have shown up late. This is Julian Gill. I know you know who he is. He is the writer of the book Mask Hysteria. He's also the host of Kiss FAQ, a podcast that you can get on in audio and video. And we're talking about what you see right there on the screen. If you're watching it on YouTube, that's the website to go to get his new book, Mask Hysteria World Tour 1980-1981. And in the bottom, there's some flags. You just click on the flag of the country that you're in. It takes you to the Amazon for your country, and you can pick it up. And Julian, who did the cover?
Claudio Bergamon. Absolutely incredible artist. I met him on the cruise in 2018 that we were on, Joe, and he did
he did the
artwork for Judas Priest's Firepower album, which is absolutely incredible. He's also a massive Kiss fan, obviously. So when I work on these projects, I try and use artists that I know, you know, and engage them, and I give them a vision and I let them go with it. And look at that cover. It is absolutely amazing. You can get prints of that without my titling and all that stuff from his website, which is in the book, and it's Claudio Bergamon. If you Google that, you'll find his art. But the art that he has executed just nailed what I wanted visually for that. It's based off the press photo that they had with a couple of artistic licenses taken
right.
And one of the interesting things on that cover is that he did not use any black. All of that is the other colors.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool. So is this something that he painted or, you know, did specifically for your book, or was this something that he had already had done and
No, I commissioned him for this, and I just licensed the artwork for use on it. He's got it all in the bag for his own use and sale, which is the way I prefer to work. I prefer artists own their work. So you're not going to see me selling any mugs or T-shirts with the cover on it. That's I did the same with Chris Hoffman when he did the book, the artwork for Aerosmith.
Cool. Somebody said, so this is Nick here says, Julian, I've heard you say this is your last book, but I hope it isn't. What KISS book topic would you like to see come out?
What, by me or by someone else? I would love something, someone else to do a KISS book. And I know Alan and Perstrid have Demons of Rock coming up for pre-order, the latest edition of their full color extravaganza. Book-wise, I mean, there's just so much to dig into. People are asking me, you know, if I did another one of these, what would I do? And right now it's a toss-up. It's like, I've just finished this. This is like 18 months or more of really hard work. But I'm like, Destroyer Tour would be really cool to do in this format with, you know, so much of the material that goes along with that, as Glickman Marks, hola, Laurie Strode. But so would Creatures Tour. Would be absolutely fantastic, you know, and so would, what was the other one? Oh yeah, Dynasty Tour, because I kind of worked backwards. The starting point for this, Mask Hysteria, really starts with Odyssey. And as I found out more and more information after that book came out, I wanted to redo some of the early 81 stuff, which provides a perfect ending point for Mask Hysteria because of the transition between Unmasked and What Becomes the Elder. And it allowed me to address some of the things that have been learned in the year since we did Odyssey.
Cool. Man, I always love talking to you about these things because you're really so into it, just like any KISS fan normally would be, you know? And it's just one of those things that when I do get to see you, which is maybe once every couple of years, like I said, the last time we saw each other was at Podomatic. I mean, Podomatic.
Wow.
Look at where my brain just went.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, Gallagher.
All right. Wow. Okay. We saw each other a few months ago at the Rockin' Pod. And then before that, I saw you at Creatures Fest, right?
No, you were not at Creatures Fest. No.
Right. So it was the KISS Cruise.
Yeah.
KISS Cruise. So I sat with Julian. I sat with him while he drank so much tea. I said, I'm having coffee. He goes, where I'm from, we don't do coffee.
Yeah, how many teacups did I have lined up in front of me? I had an assembly line of tea, my own tea bags that I brought. I only needed a little bit of milk from them, and I'd go from one to the next until I'd gotten my caffeine level up to the point where I could face people.
So that's because those cruise cups are a complete waste of time.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Like, what the?
Right. Even with the coffee, I'm like, I'm going to have to drink like 10 of these. What is happening?
I want a mug. I'm not doing shots of tea here, people.
So is there, all right, I don't want to like give away too many things, but okay. So one of the things I wanted to ask you was, is there anything like what was one of the, give us an amazing thing that you discovered that you think will shock the people?
Just how, I think how Peter Criss's exit was handled in the band, because the 1980 contract that they signed with Phonogram in April really sets up all of the issues that occur in 1981 and 82. And that's that makes Hysteria worthy of doing. This whole era, this whole year, is what sets up the band for everything that goes wrong later. So what was really fascinating? Just how Peter Criss's exit was handled. He was given a record deal in the KISS contract, and he remained a partner in the KISS business, which is completely different than what happens with Ace Frehley when he, you know, goes off the rails 2 years or, you know, less than 2 years later. So getting a hold of both the international and the American contract were really fascinating. And I didn't want to just print the contracts. I just took some parts of that out and put it into the book so that it would have the context And I actually left one part of it out that I now regret leaving out, because it's the part of the contract that defines that Phonogram's going to underwrite for $350,000 in 1980 money, part of the European tour, because they knew it was all going to eat a loss.
Interesting. Sonny?
So, Julian, safe to say that Kiss paid Peter to go away?
No. No, because he remains a part of all the meetings. He wanted to go away, but he was given a $100,000 deal, basically. They said, we're going to treat you like any other drummer at the time, give you the same effort of promotion. This will make you happy. You go off and do your thing, and then we'll get a new member in to replace you. So did they want him to go away? Yeah, it was clear that the relationship was, you know, broken. You know, Peter says as much in his autobiography. The others say this, well, similar perspectives from a different vantage point in there. So yeah, they needed to have a conscious uncoupling. What was that absolutely ludicrous phrase that Hollywood actors made about divorce? But yeah, they needed to split.
So it says on here, somebody asked, did the artist do the cover for Classic 78?
I don't know what else Claudio has done other than, where's my copy of Classic 78?
Yeah, because that's an incredible cover too. So
yeah,
it's got some likenesses. Julian, on let's see, what were we talking about? Oh yeah, so any data or anything in print that shows, hey, you can go do your own thing, but you can't show your face, or you can't use a Peter Chris name, or they were pretty much done with, look, just show your face and get unmasked. We don't care.
No, they asked him not to. They wanted him to maintain the mystique as long as possible, which is why Out of Control comes out with the illustration cover. I think that was Todd Shore. So they did ask him to withhold it, but he didn't exactly, because once he has his album out and he does a whole press tour, goes to Texas. There are tons of pictures of him, you know, painting cat makeup on people there. He's on CNN. He's on, the Tomorrow with Tom Snyder and a couple of other TV shows. So, you know, once he's on that, the CNN one that they put on Kissology, he's got his, you know, back turned to the camera. But on the other ones, he's full facial, you know, looking John Bonhamish with his gray, you know, his salt and pepper gray hair and beard and all that. And he was going to go on the road. I mean, he was rehearsing with a band. There's no, you know, bullshit to that he wasn't going to promote the album properly, but they chose a really bad single to lead off with. And come on, Kiss couldn't get arrested in the U.S. in 1980. I think one of the comments that flew by, you know, pointed that out again. You know, Kiss was essentially dead in the States outside of 16. What was it? Some of those kids magazines that, you know, very few people, you know, cared about. So,
right.
You know, his solo career wasn't going to go any further. And it's almost an insult to be saying, we'll give you the same effort we'd give any drummer. You know, and then Phil Collins comes along a year later or so with his solo career and, you know, resets the whole thing.
Nick Scarpelli wants to know, was there ever serious talk of a live album?
I don't know. There was talk about recording the Palladium show for King Biscuit and broadcasting it in Canada, but I don't have enough memos that follow that trail of where it went. They certainly recorded overdubs and all that in Sydney for the Australian shows that were recorded that became Inner Sanctum, but was that ever considered to be a live album? I don't have any evidence from the memos that I have, and there'll be a ton that I don't have that maybe tell a different story, but with what I have, no.
Let me ask you this. You mentioned the Inner Sanctum, which to me is one of the best Kiss documentaries ever. If you guys have not seen that, I like to think that it's possible for you to find it on YouTube. I'm not sure that I've ever actually seen anything other than snippets. Sonny, have you ever seen the Inner Sanctum?
No, I have not.
It is amazing. And so Australia did it right, man. The Kiss was coming. They shot a whole documentary. I guess the tour is over. They showed it not only live, you know, on TV, but it was simulcast through the stereo through your radio, so you can like tune in and blast the music and everything through your sound system at home. But it's so cool because it shows behind the scenes of that entire tour. It's probably about what, about an hour and a half long, Julian?
Yeah, it's 90 minutes. There's a few versions that circulate out there now, you know, various edits of it. I mean, it was always planned that, you know, they were presented with proposals, which are covered in the book, you know, for various TV projects. There had been a plan to film them in Europe, you know, kind of a similar kind of story than what was later done for Kiss in Australia, which becomes Inner Sanctum with Norman Gunston, you know, handling a lot of the... Yeah, you know, so it played off that whole, it was all pretty packaged. It was planned because obviously they did go back during the gap between going to New Zealand for the final dates to clean up the recordings for you. So Paul did a lot of overdubs. I'm not sure if Eric, how much Eric might have done, but a lot of work was done on the audio. So hopefully they have that, and one day we'll get to hear a live in Australia, a proper live release if they don't ever, you know, I think we had some of it on Kissology.
You know, that thing about that, the thing that makes that documentary, one of the things that makes it so amazing, besides the fact that we are finally, when you put that DVD in, or I had it on VHS first, then I had it on DVD, then I had it on DVD with like the what do you call that, counter underneath, you know?
The timestamp. Yeah.
The timestamp. And I probably have three or four different copies of it. Just because anytime you see it, you're like, oh, I'll buy this. What's the difference? I found one recently that has them on the Sydney, that Australian countdown, you know, the whole look, it's rock and roll and all that stuff. But, you know, that's, I think people in the States that are huge Kiss fans are so like interested in that because we feel left out. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. America, and as a non-American, you know, you guys were, this is your band, but it became the world's band in 1980, where Europe, even England, you know, got in on the act, and all the television stuff that circulates, it's all got different languages, it's got different accents, and there's very little from America itself. So that is what is great, is that it finally represents KISS as a worldwide entity.
You guys, before we go forward, I want to remind you that normally around 8 o'clock we tune out and we're done with the show. But tonight, Neil Davis, who did the Creatures Fest Expo, is making a big announcement tonight, and we're going to carry it live right here. So you guys hang out with us. Like I said, the place to be on Sunday nights at 7 o'clock for the Kiss Army is right here on Podcast Rock City Live. And, you know, and so we're going to watch that together, and then we may hang out, depending on what he says. We'll probably hang out for a few minutes and talk about what he has planned for us. I hope that it's going to be something amazing. It's I'm hearing October, but we'll wait and see what really happens. It's going to be fun. Sonny, you have more questions?
Yeah, so, Julian, let's talk business end a little bit. So, you know, to, I guess, protect all the innocent, we'll talk about a Susie and we'll talk about a Nikki, right? We're just going to name two people. So let's say you come across a picture, a photo that you want to use that Susie owns. How does that get handled and possibly end up in the book? Or you want to use a contract that Nikki happens to own through however Nikki got it, and she owns the final copy, and you just want to use a photostat print of that in the book. Is it just you found it, give them credit, or is it you have to call both Susie and Nikki? What happens with all that?
That's basically the question you got right here, also right. from Loving Off the Grid.
Now, let's be absolutely clear. KISS, their makeup designs, and everything around them is trademarked. So I have a certain amount of good grace in, obviously, that cover. In terms of the legality of it, you know, so it is definitely skirting a fine line. I don't use a lot of photos in my books exactly for the reasons of copyright. And I have had lawsuits with photographers in the past. I have learned certain things that need to not happen and to happen around that area. But again, there is a certain amount of goodwill as a semi-fan publication, albeit on a slightly broader sense. That's why it's limited edition, limited availability versus being available forever. So I have people who took photographs and they own those photographs and they are able to grant me a license to reproduce those photographs in the book. And that is all covered and signed off on. You know, there's a certain amount of fair use that comes into play, though that also does collide with the commerciality or the perception thereof of that. So there are gray areas that I operate in, without a doubt. Contracts, memos, I've got those pictures. I can use those on my scan, so I can use those. A picture of something, there is a certain amount of leeway in what you can do. I also mask out photos and the logo in a lot of cases. Anyone who's seen the On Tour book, I put that out to print, and I got my proof copy. I was like, oh, shit, I forgot to blur the KISS logo on Peter's drum head, you know, so... It was like, quick, blur that sucker with a twirly effect, edit it out, Bruce it. And, you know, and all throughout, you'll see that things are overlaid in terms of the internal pictures to take out some of the things that I don't want to overdo being shown. Because, again, you're documenting a history and you are addressing everything that is within it, but you also don't want to piss people off. That's really bad when it comes to this. So again, this isn't going to be available forever, and it's not going, you know, to a massive scale. You know, it won't even move 1,000 copies.
Yeah. Another question. So let's talk about Cream for a second, or as Ace would say, the Cream. I'm sure Cream was the biggest band on the planet at some point in time before I was born, and then sooner or later people stop talking about them. So KISS is almost done. Let's assume they're actually gonna be done this time. All right, so let's just assume they're gonna be done. Is the problem now that there is so much mass media that basically talking about KISS will never be done?
We're still talking about the Beatles. We're still talking about Elvis. Think of the things.
Yeah, but Elvis doesn't have 95 podcasts, right?
Well, I don't know, but we're everyone's still nuts for the Beatles and analyzing that no end. This has had KISS has had a massive impact on so many people's lives in so many different ways that they're really unique in a sense. That you can get an English fan who's coming, you know, from a Crazy Nights perspective versus an American fan who started in 74 with the first album, the first TV shows, that you have all these perspectives that are almost, you know, vying for dominance. You know, you have all these different areas and ways of getting excited about this band, whether you're a makeup fan, whether you're a lineup fan, whether you're a tour fan, it doesn't matter. And because there is always more information coming out, it will never be done, Sonny. They may not be us. There's the next generation. There's a younger fan. There's a smarter fan. There's a better writer of a fan who we can mentor, who we can, you know, help get that passion to keep it going. There's no reason why it doesn't continue. That's what makes KISS 2.0 not as ludicrous as it might sound, other than to me.
Is there any KISS 2.0 that would be okay with you? Let's say they come to you and say, we want to make a 2.0 that makes Julian happy.
No, just start opening the archives properly. Get that stuff out that I think exists. I don't know it exists. We hope. You know, that's the KISS 2.0 that I care about. It's what's in the vaults that we don't know about. And we've seen, you know, little bits of it, like on the Creatures box, there were some things I didn't know about. On the Destroyer box, pardon me, there were also things I didn't know about. Keep that line coming. That'll make me happy. I don't care about seeing a glorified tribute band. If I want to see a tribute band, there's lots of them to choose from, depending on where you are and what your mood is and how they interpret their show. You know, so the buffet is pretty damn full.
We're starting to get towards the end here. I want to make sure that everybody knows where to find you, okay? First things first, maskhysteria.com is where to get the book. Amazon has, once you're in Amazon, Julian has books in there besides this one. You said going back about 8 years, is that what you said?
Yeah.
So going back about 8 years, make sure, I promise you will not be disappointed. The one that I find myself picking up the most for me is the solo albums one. You can go back and find little things in there. Just for research purposes. That's why I hope I'm quoting this right, because I've done it a couple of times, but the order of sales, according to your book, was Gene, Ace, Peter, Paul, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So when I tell people that, they always freak out on me, and I'm sure they freak out on you, because nobody wants to believe that Paul Stanley's book sold less than Peter's.
Well, it's just what the numbers say. So, you know, whether people believe it or not, it doesn't matter what people believe. I'm just happy that the sequence of the names on the cover of that book versus the sequence of the art really annoyed some people, because, you know, you give your artist license and they do some wild stuff. And if that's what upsets someone, at least they're thinking about it. Now, Sonny, I hear you're a big fan of Odyssey.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I can tell you, the Kiss Army is easy to offend. Let's put it that way. Really easy to offend.
Have you ever been contacted, though, by any member, like anybody involved with Kiss, saying, this isn't okay, or have you covered your bases very well?
I've tried to cover my bases as well as possible. If I ever did hear that they didn't like anything, then I would immediately comply with them. That, you know, they are Kiss and I am not. It's a matter of respect. You get to do some things in the fan realm, and sometimes you do a step too far and you get a polite letter. I mean, that's happened with some, you know, projects that people will have heard about. So, you know, just handle it appropriately. Don't have a temper tantrum. And remember, they're a business. They're the band, and you're not.
Absolutely. One more thing before we go. I want to mention, it's really cool to see you guys that are watching live mentioning, just ordered my book, while you're watching the show. Thank you very much. I'm sure Julian says thank you as well. That is amazing that you guys are getting this book. Julian's hard work, it pays off when you read it, and he loves the fact that if you ever get a chance to meet him, walk up and talk to him about your favorite book that he has written. He will always be a cool dude to hang out with. One other thing, Kiss FAQ, the podcast, where can everybody see that, Julian?
KissFAQpodcast.com, or just come over to the Kiss FAQ, find us on the message board, and you'll see the links to our shows and, you know, usually a bunch of other podcasts as well.
Absolutely. So, Sonny, before we go, do you have any more questions?
No, I'm all good. No, it's a great book. Mine's on the way, so I'm in good shape.
Yes. Thank you very, very much. Julian, we love the fact that we could send you a message in the middle of the week and go, dude, come on. And you're like, absolutely. And we do appreciate it. You know, one thing about being a Kiss podcaster is we all get to, thanks to Chris Sinzak and his group, we've all met, we've all hung out, we've all broke bread, we've all had drinks, we've all watched concerts together. It's one of those things to where, you know, you get a message from, everybody's willing to help each other, and that's one of the things that we wanted to do here for you. Not that you really needed any. The talk about this book is really off the charts. Sonny, you agree?
It's been on my Facebook feed all week.
You haven't been able to escape those damn covers, have you? I mean, it really has been awesome. I wanted to, just before you wrap and boot me, you know, to thank everyone for joining the live feed with the questions. I didn't turn on being able to see the comments until way late, so I apologize. But I want to thank everyone for their support. I want to thank you guys, Sonny and Joe for your support and having me on, and all the podcasts who supported me over the years and have, you know, talked about the books I've done on my own, the books I did with Tim. Don't forget Tim, because he was the heart and soul of both the solo albums, book, and Odyssey. And, you know, it is very much appreciated, and that's why we always try and deliver what we promise.
Absolutely. Thank you, Julian. You guys, I want you to hang out, okay? We're going to stay here, and we're going to bring you the Neil Davis announcement when it goes live at 8 o'clock. Julian, sir, thanks, buddy. We'll be in touch.
Thank you both.
All right, peace.
See ya.
Peace out.
Go eat dinner. That was fun.
So, for Chris, this chair... And I somehow people love this chair, and I guess you can't get an oversized chair. So what I did was, I'm a big guy anyway. I wanted to get a chair that could hold like 450 pounds and is long enough so my feet don't dangle off the end, because this is a zero gravity chair. And so it extends to about, I think it's somewhere in the neighborhood of... God, 82 inches, 84 inches, something like that. So that way my feet don't dangle off the end. Super comfy. It's built like steel, because this chair's moved with me 4 or 5 times, no issues. I cannot find a replacement, because I was looking for a second one. I can't find one. And I don't remember where I got this one. Right. But yeah. So I, yeah, it's a great chair.
When you bought it, did you buy it? Did you buy it like in a town that you were in? You didn't get it online or something?
No. I bought it in San Francisco Bay Area, and I used to buy everything at, what was that furniture store name? Why do I want to say Levi? It wasn't Levi. God damn. I can't remember what the furniture name, store's name was, but I used to get Levitt's, but I used to get everything there. Right. So I'm assuming I got this chair there also, but I'm not positive. So for everybody who's still hanging out, one of the things we're going to do this year is we are doing a Podcast Rock City Fantasy Football League, and it's going to be free. So I love fantasy football. I know Joey does. Joe dabbles. I know that. I'm a huge NFL fan. I'm glad gambling got legalized in my state, like that kind of NFL fan. So if you're interested in joining this free Podcast Rock City Fantasy Football League, there are basically 12 spots total, and we're going to do kind of first come, first serve. All you got to do is send us your email address, and I will send you an invite, because it's a private league, and you have to have the password, and it's going to be on CBS Sportsline. And then what we're going to do is we're going to do a winner take all type of league. So at the end of the season, whoever wins is going to actually get a PRC trophy that we're going to make. So obviously this will be our first year, so that trophy would be special. And then I'm sure Joe's got some stuff lying around that he can send you also.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll send a nice gift pack. And one other thing before we, people keep asking me what I thought of SummerSlam. I enjoyed it until the end. That's all you need to know. I was disappointed. Neil Davis is going to make a big announcement. I want to make sure that you guys knew this. There is a Podcast Rock City has a new shirt design on Click Tees. And I want to show that to you guys. Let's see, right here. So here's our new design right here, you guys. If you guys want to go and snatch up a shirt, it'd be cool if you did. It's, of course, based off Rock and Roll Over. It says Joe, Sonny, Lee, Joey, Joey. Oh, okay. Anyway, you guys have been, so clicktees.com, clickteeshop.com, sorry. And, you know, check that out and pick up a shirt. It would be appreciated. Where I'm working with the owner of the company to put some, to let us get like, what am I talking about? Like tumblers and pillows and anything you want with our logo on, you'll be able to get. Some of you guys are asking about Lee. I want you to know that Lee has not left the show. She has some very personal business that she's handling. She'll be back, I believe, next week is what she messaged us. But she has not left the show. We talked to her just a little while ago, and I just want to make sure you guys know that. Because everybody's like, where's the beautiful girl? And I'm like, yikes. Do you mean Joey? I don't mean Damn. Joey. Sonny, do you have anything to add?
No, it's been a long show, but we would have been watching the Neil thing anyway.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool to watch it here. And, you know, it's cool to have Bruce involved. And, man, I mean, Bruce willing to do trains, planes, and automobiles to get across the country. Dude, at his age, that can't be too fun.
To come and hang out with all of us, you know, I think that's pretty cool. Thank you guys for sticking around. I really do appreciate it. Lee, we miss you. We love you. Joey, we know, I think it's your son's birthday. And this is Darth Shredder gives me so much crap. Yes, I'm going to see the Kiss cover band a week later in Nashville. I love you, man. Anyway, so thank you guys for joining us. You know what I'm going to say. We love Kiss and we love Kiss podcasts. Most of them. And you're going to hear all the commercials. You're really not. But I'm going to play them anyway for the audio. And we're out of here in 3, 2, 1. Peace.
Peace.
Thank you, and goodbye.
What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City. Have you heard of the Click Tees shop yet? These t-shirts reach into the deepest nostalgia of the hottest band in the world with designs like the Demon's First Stage shirt, the Rock Skull, the Spaceman's very first stage shirt, Eagle Wings, the Catman's Cadillac Michigan jacket, the Black Cat, the Phantom of the Park talisman, and a wide array of Eric Carr tees. With over 30 killer designs, these t-shirts dive so deep, they're like opening a private vault of rare classic material. Click Tees is not exactly all tees. They also have products like mugs, hats, necklaces, pillows, socks, stickers, and guitar picks. Podcast Rock City is happy to announce that we have partnered with Click Tee Shop and we are now selling our merchandise there too. Buy some merchandise and let everyone know you're a fan of our show. Go to clickteeshop.com, that's click with a K, to check out all the great stuff to choose from.
You wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Monco Radio, join us in the Kiss Room. The Kiss Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world. Kiss! It's your place for all things Kiss and some... For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The Kiss Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
Hey, this is Stephen Michael.
And Sonny Hollywood Pooney, and we are from the Growing Up Rock Podcast.
Come check out the Growing Up Rock Podcast, where each and every week we talk to rock stars past and present and come up with some fun themes all to the beat of some killer hard rock and metal music.
Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and you can also check out our episodes, concert reviews, and album reviews at growinguprock.com.
That's growinguprock.com. GROWINUPROCK.com.
Growing Up Rock.
Turn it up.
Hey everybody, this is Jody Havnot. I want to invite you to come hang out with me and Mr. Nate Dimmel in the Dummy Room.
The Dummy Room's a podcast that's all about having fun, talking about some great music, and we also have some really cool guests, too. Check us out, man. I think you really dig it.
No gratitude need be voiced. Your mind speaks to us.